Just so I can check, how many of you were here earlier in the mga 12 o'clock time when I was showing slides of my family and whatnot? So a lot of you. Okay, but there's some who are not here. Okay, I just wasn't sure how much to say about myself and where I live. Nakatira kami sa Quezon City, mga 17 years na, and good. 17 years, and brother, if you could bring up the book of Titus, chapter 3, I'll be going there in just a little bit, okay? So, sa Quezon City, and gustong gusto ko ng Pilipinas, and masarap ang pagkain, you know, ang paborito ko, adobo, pero also menudo, and but top silog. Oh. Top silog. How many of you like top silog? You like top silog? Yeah, yeah. My wife makes top silog. Okay. Americana siya, pero she makes it like a Filipina. It's ungaling, you know. It's very, very good. So I have been living there since 2002. And I won't go through the whole story again. I shared a lot earlier, but the Lord brought me and my family to the Philippines 2002 with four children. And then the Bunso was born, sa St. Luke's, sa E. Rodriguez, sa Quezon City. How many of you know E. Rod? You know that area? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so he was born, sa St. Luke's. And we are joking. Kanina was saying, we joked that he is our Phil-Am, or maybe our M-Phil, I guess. Because see, American first, and you know. But his passport is American, you know, no Filipino passport for American, sayang. But we have lived there for a long time and love living there and teach in a Bible college, seminary, doon. And not only love Manila, our place is malapit sa UP, if you know, Diliman area, Quezon Circle. So if you can picture where that is. And City Hall, if you know Quezon City Hall, just a couple blocks away, tricycle ride lang from like City Hall. So, and we've always lived in the Teacher Village, UP Village area, if you know that area. So, ngayon, nakatira kami sa Maginhawa Street. How many of you know Maginhawa? Anybody? Oh, sayang, you have to go to Maginhawa. Kasi Maginhawa maraming resto. And many, many restaurants, every kind of food. It is like the food street of Metro Manila now, okay? Not Timorato. Timorato, okay lang, you know. Makati, Poblacion, okay lang. But Maginhawa Street, angaling, okay? So when you come back, you have to stop at Maginhawa. And we're living actually on Maginhawa Street. So look for the BDO sa Maginhawa. And then sa harap ng BDO, my condo apartment building sa akin. Okay? So you come, knock on the door. Okay? And then you can come in and you can eat with us. So we would like that very much. By God's grace and opportunity, I have been to many places in the Philippines. Kanina, I was asking where everybody was from in the 8 o'clock service, I guess. So let me just do a quick poll of where you're from, okay? So first of all, Metro Manila, ilan? Pakitasan kamay, if taga sa Metro Manila? No one! Ay, nako, I'm all alone! Oh, okay, saan sa Metro Manila? Tondo! Crowded ba? Sobra! Ay, nako. I've been there a few times. There's a church there, Living Faith Baptist Church. So next time you go home, you look for Living Faith Baptist Church there, angaling ng simbahan. And lots of good. Tondo is a busy, crowded place. Crazy. Another Metro Manila? San Juan, okay. Do you get splashed with the water every year? Yeah. Okay, and Taguig, yo, BGC. I just was at a church in Taguig last Sunday. visiting a church, saloob ng Taguig, back on Pacific Homes or something like that. One of the new kind of developments. You know, if you're going C5, BGC on the right, Tug other on the left, over there. Yeah. So, yeah, of course, BGC, ganda, you know. So the most beautiful place right now in Metro Manila, I think, is BGC. Kasi, kind of like Singapore, you know. It kind of looks the same as Singapore. Okay, so, okay, ang galing from Metro Manila. Anybody, nobody from Quezon City, though? Ah, sorry.
I was born there.
You were born there? Okay, what part? Ayun, so Cubao. Which hospital? Do you know, lying in or hospital? Oh, no. So were you born sa Cubao? Ayun, okay. Good. Okay. I go, you know, Cubao is sobrang malapit sa church mo. Church ko. So we go in there for shopping and things like that. Cubao Shoe Expo. Except only dalawang shoe stores ngayon. It used to be lahat shoe stores. Now dalawa lang, and then restaurants and art gallery and kind of hipster, parang hipster place now. Now it's called Cubao X, yun lang, instead of Shoe Expo. So, but ganda. Okay, so who else from Luzon? From like Central Luzon. Any others from Central Luzon? Okay, so some, I don't know, Pangasinan, Tarlac, okay. Ano? Pangasinan, okay. Very nice. And then how about Southern Luzon? Like Bicol, Camsur? Yeah? San? Camarinesur, yeah. Okay, water sports, you know, yeah. I've been to Naga and Pili and to Legazpi. Down there. It's really, really beautiful. Mount Isorog. How many of you, Mount Isorog, one of the most beautiful mountains in all of the Philippines. Very, very beautiful down there. And then, of course, Mount Mayon, sa Albay. So, very nice. Okay, how about northern Luzon, up north? Ilocos, yeah. Any Baguio? Pagudpud? Batanes? Anybody from Batanes? I've always wanted to go there. That's beautiful up there. Okay, how about, let's see, Visayas. Okay. Ano? Bacolod. Ang galing. Inisal, huh? Yeah. Sarap. I just was in Bacolod last September. Visiting Bacolod. My second time. Dalawang beses doon. So I like, Bacolod is very nice. Very beautiful, and the food is, of course, everywhere in the Philippines, the food is good, you know? That's the hard part. But Iloilo, masarap ng isda. Yeah, very good. So, how about, how many are Ilonggos? No, Ilonggos? Okay. Cebuanos? Cebuano? Okay. How about the south, Mindanao? Mindanao, okay. Gensan, at, ano? Dinsan din? Davao yun. Okay. I have not been all the way down like to Davao. I think I mentioned earlier. I've been like to CDO and Malaybalay. In fact, next month I'm going to Malaybalay for teaching time with pastors down there. So Bukidnon, so beautiful down there. I think that may be the prettiest place for the mountains, you know, to get to. I don't know if Davao is beautiful or not. Maybe. I'll have to get there. President Duterte is not there anymore. So I'm not sure if Davao is going down, you know. Walang Duterte doon. So, anybody from Palawan? Any Palawanos? Any? No, sayang. Coron, El Nido, very beautiful. Yeah. Ano? Antigua is okay. You know, I've never been there. Are you from there? Okay. I've never been to Antigua yet. I would like to get there sometime. Never been to, what's the white beach? Boracay. Yeah, I haven't been to that, to the tourist places yet, but. No. Someday we'll go there. But Mindoro, I've been to Mindoro many times. Puerto Galera and that area along there. And So anyway, so many places, so many islands, so many beautiful places, diba. It's really, I enjoy very much every chance I get to go to a new place. It's always exciting to see some new corner of the Philippines. And my family is the same. They love to go around. Last year, my wife and my children got to go someplace I still have never been, to Romblon. Anybody from Romblon? Onjongan? Mahirap to get there. You know, it's not easy. Wolang Airport, you know, it's a boat, you know, bangka long, or, you know, I think ferry, but it's a long, long ride, yeah. That's beautiful down there. So, well, it's amazing to think about the beautiful places that God has made in the world. And every place you go in the world, you find something of God's beauty, don't you? And that's a wonderful thing. No matter where we go in the world, we can see God's hand. Sometimes in the natural beauty, you know, and in the Philippines, there are many, many places that are very, very beautiful. You know, I grew up in Miami, Florida, Malapitsa Beach, ocean, so I always love the beach. That's my favorite place. You know, I love to be on the water, love to look at the islands and go swimming and things like that. But then, you know, you go to Sabundok, and it's, you know, it's beautiful. That's why I love Bukidnon, you know, because you get up into the mountains. A friend of mine has a camp up way up in the mountains. You take a dirt bike. I've driven, you know, dirt motorcycle, off-road motorcycle, climbing up for 1 hour straight up into the mountains. You feel like you're on top of the world when you get up there, you know. There's no cities, no lights. It's just quiet, and the clouds come down to the mountain. You've been places like that. Yeah, it's so beautiful. And you can't help but see God there. And then you go other places and you see people and you meet people in other places. Many of you have been living here. Maybe you've lived in other places in the world as well. And you meet people and you see God there as well as you meet people. God has put in us the ability to see Him. And everybody has that ability. Do you know that? God has said in His Word, in Romans chapter 1, that every person looking out at, you know, the ocean or the mountains or the stars, whatever it is we look at these orchids here. I don't know, are these real? I'm not sure. Are these real? We'll pretend that they're real, okay? But you know, when you see beautiful flowers, anything like that, there's a part of you that says, there's a God. We know it. And the Bible makes that very clear. Everybody knows there is a God. Sayang that not everybody who sees God in the world believes in Him. That's a very sad thing, that we can look at the incredible beauty. You know, I told you I like Mindoro. I've been to Puerto Galera many, many times over the years. And a few years ago, my son and I learned scuba diving. So for his graduation from high school, that was his gift. He and I would learn scuba diving together. And then we would go to Puerto Galera and go diving there. And I'd always dreamed of doing that ever since I was a child. You know, in Miami, I would watch television programs about scuba diving. You know, I think, oh, ganda sa loob ng ocean. I want to go down in and see that. And I will tell you, the first time sa Batangas, actually, when we were, you know, getting the training, to go down under the water and see the coral reefs and the fish, and then later on to see turtles, you know, big turtles going through the water, you know, and then you get really close down to the coral and you see these tiny little, like, what do you call it? Seahorse, thank you. You see the kabayo, you know, kabayo ng dugo? No, daga? No, anyway. To see the tiny, tiny little things like that. And again, I was overwhelmed with the beauty of God and the creativity of God and His goodness to us, that we get to enjoy that. You know, to look at a single flower, and to look at it long enough to recognize the beauty of God in that. And yet, so many people will see that, and day after day, they will go on and they will just ignore God. Or they will say, that didn't come from God, there is no God. Or, no, maybe some other God did that. They won't let themselves see God, even though he's there all the time showing himself to them. And then they come to the point of death. And sometimes death comes when we don't expect it. And then that person who would not see God in this life goes out, and then they see God, but they don't see him as beautiful. They see him as a judge. Because the book of Hebrews makes very clear to us that it's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody dies just once. We all will die. There is an exception to that if Jesus comes back, but probably all of us in this room will die. And after death comes something that we don't like to talk about very much. But the book of Hebrews says, after that comes the judgment. And it's very sad that God has given us every opportunity to see him and to know him. And yet, so many turn away from it. In fact, God has given a promise, if we accept it, God has given us a promise that after death, we do not have to see him as a judge, we can just see him as a loving father. In Titus, the book of Titus, there's this wonderful statement. The beginning of Titus chapter 1, we read these words. Paul, the apostle, is writing to a pastor who is training other pastors, getting them ready for their churches. And we read these words. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And then notice these words. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That is a promise you can trust. Has anybody ever promised you something and you thought that they were good for that promise and you counted on that promise and then they broke it? Have you ever had that happen to you? Yeah, just the other day, I had my son. I mentioned earlier, my son was big into Legos, and now he's big into skateboards. So he's always changing what he's interested in, you know. And he had this rather large set of Legos. He had saved his pesos, birthday money, saved up a lot of money, went to Green Hills, bought Malaking Lego set. Like 1,500 pieces. It was crazy. He put it all together. Then he took it apart. And then he decided he wanted a skateboard. He had an old one, but he wanted a new one. So he said, okay, Dad, I'm going to sell the Lego set. And then I'll take the money and buy a skateboard. And it was a big enough Lego set that he could do that. So I helped him advertise it, you know, on OLX and through a Yahoo group, kind of like a parang Facebook group. And somebody contacted me and said, okay, I want to buy the Lego set for my children. And we worked out the details. I would LBC the Legos to them, and they would, you know, direct deposit the money. And then I could give it to my son. And my son was all excited because I got this message on my phone while we were SM North in Quezon City. And he already found the skateboard he wanted to buy, SM, in the Sky Garden area at the front, okay? There's a really good, in case you ever need to know, there's a really good skateboard shop at SM North, okay? So I got the message and I said, okay, Evan, this person's going to buy your Legos. So you have the money to get your skateboard. So he was all excited. He went, and he didn't have the money yet, so I paid for the skateboard. And I said, okay, when the money comes, it's mine, you know, because I paid for this. So then the next day, I got a follow-up email from that same person. And she wrote and said, oh, I just realized it's not the right set. My sons don't want it. Is it okay if I don't buy it? I was not happy. But what was I going to say? You know, I said, I tried to be polite. And thankfully, we were not face to face, because medyo mahirap to stay polite. And I wrote back and said, well, if that's what you need to do, okay lang. Walang problema. And I did not tell my son. But I thought that would not be nice, you know. And we found something else to do with the Lego set. He does not have both. I still made him give up the Lego set. There was actually an orphanage in Batangas with a bunch of boys. So they have the Lego set now. So they're having fun with it, you know. But broken promise, you know. The Lego set, they're not cheap, you know. And that was a fair amount of money. It was a broken promise. Now, that's not a huge deal. God has promised eternal life. And he's not going to ever break that promise. And if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, then this promise is for you. But if we go out of this life and we have looked at the flowers, we have looked at the mountains and the ocean, and yet we have said, no, there's no God, or no, God, I don't really want you, then we go out of this life, and that promise is not for somebody like that. I mentioned, Kanina, that we have been building a building. The seminary where I teach, we built this large building. And we've had no accidents in that building, no injuries. By God's grace, it's been very good. And the engineers I worked with, they were very careful, all the safety things and whatnot. So it was very good. But one day I got a call on a Friday morning that one of the carpinteros, galing sa Iloilo, actually, he was sleeping at the building because a lot of the workers were living at the building, syempre, and he did not wake up. I mean, completely. He never woke up. He died in his sleep during the night. Don't know. They did do an autopsy. The police came to look at, you know, the place and to check out the man. I think they took his body and did an autopsy. And evidently he had some hidden medical condition that he never knew about. He was, you know, sobrang malakas. You know, he was a carpenter. He worked hard, was doing a lot in the building. And he died. He was probably mga 37, 38 years old. Wife sa Iloilo, I think dalawang anak doon, and he was gone. No warning. And I don't know if he knew the Lord. I had not met him personally. I met many of the construction workers, but I had not really talked with him personally, so I don't know what was going on in his life. But suddenly he was gone. And if he had never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then that Friday morning it was too late. Because once we go out of this life, God is no longer our Savior. If we did not accept him as our Savior in this life, he cannot be our Savior after death, according to the Scriptures. Because after death comes the judgment. Just 2 weeks ago, got a call from a friend, a lady in our church, and her husband, who is mga 63 years old, Toto Menyes, patay siya. This doesn't happen every day, you know, I know that. But this was just recent again, you know. Wife, grown children, my apo, 63 lung. The older I get, the more 63 does not seem so old, you know. It's not so old. It's only 10 years away. And yet, suddenly, they took him to the hospital thinking they would admit him because he was having some trouble with some breathing. And he did have a problem with kidneys and was having some dialysis. So he was having some physical problems, but they did not expect. They thought, we go to the hospital, he gets admitted, few days, and then bumalik sabahai. And by the time he arrived at the hospital, he was already going. And, you know, this happens all the time. In fact, when this happened with the carpintero, we were doing every Saturday morning Bible study, kind of like this time, with the construction workers. And we had been going through the story of Israel. And you know, in Israel, there was sudden death when God was bringing Israel out of Egypt. Do you remember that story? Israel was slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. And then God was doing things to bring them out. And one of the last things was, or the final thing, was the death of the firstborn. You remember that story? It was the final plague, 10 plagues. The last one was the death of the firstborn. And if you remember that story, it's in Exodus. The Jews were to sacrifice a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the top of the door and on the two sides of the door. And when the angel that God sent to bring the judgment was passing through Egypt, if the blood was there, the angel kept going. But for the homes where there was no blood on the door, the firstborn died. Sudden death. Just like that. Now, some of the Egyptians were warned. Maybe all of them were. I think they were, because Moses told Pharaoh what was going to happen. Some of the Egyptians, you know what they did? They got with their Jewish slaves and friends, and they sacrificed the lamb, and they put the blood on the door. And their families were spared. But many did not. I don't know. Maybe there were some Jewish families who didn't really believe and never put the blood on the door. Sudden death. And after that, it was too late. God had given warnings. See, we think sometimes that God is not very good. When somebody dies suddenly, what is our first thought? Oh, I know. Why did God do that? Right? We feel that way sometimes. It's kind of natural. It's like, why did God let that person die right now without any warning? But you know what? From the time we're born, we know we're going to die. We have a warning. Okay? Nobody is going to escape death in this life. So God has given us the warning. And sadly, in Exodus 7, we read that maraming Egyptian, Egypto, mailungkot. They are matigas ang ulo. Harden sa ulo at sa puso. They had the warnings. They knew. Some believed. But some did not. And I want you to know this afternoon, if you don't already know this, Shai ay babala sayo. God says the same thing to you this afternoon. Every day, God is giving you a warning and an invitation. A warning. You know you're going to die. You have friends who have died. You have family who have died. 30 years ago, my wife and I were getting ready to get married. Her father died 5 months before we got married. And he was only in his early 60s. So I never really got to know him. Now, my mother-in-law is still living, 93. She is getting close to death, though, honestly. She's getting older and things are breaking down. One died at 63. One died, is going to die, maybe 93, 94 years old. Hindi ko alam. They had a son who died when he was 8 years old. Accident, playing in the snow, sledding down a hill in the snow, and fell off, and then the sled pierced him in the side and through his liver. Very strange accident. And he was gone. Death comes. You know death will come. Maybe it will be many years from now. Maybe it will be soon. We don't know. Our life is not in our hands. And God has been warning us about that, but not just warning, because this is the beauty of God. He doesn't just say, okay, someday you're going to die. That would not be a very nice thing if that's all God said. Everyone's going to die. Yun lang. That's it. That would not be very nice, would it? And you know what? God doesn't do that. God doesn't just say, okay, you're going to die. That's it. He says, I'm here. And I want you to be my child and spend eternal life with me. Now, there's a problem, though. Okay? And this is the least nice part about this. There is a problem. Back in Titus, there is some truths about us that we have to face. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, I want you to just look at and listen to this description. This is the Apostle Paul, okay, writing. And here's what he says about himself. We ourselves also were sometimes, and now look at this list, foolish. Have you ever been foolish? Do you know what foolish means in the Bible? It means to be willfully ignorant. It means to turn away from truth. Have you ever known something was true, but you decided you didn't like it? Yeah, we probably have all done that. The Apostle Paul did too. Disobedient. Have you ever broken any one of the Ten Commandments? Maybe not the worst one. Maybe you haven't killed anybody. Okay, nobody killed anybody here? Okay, that's good. Have you ever lied? Yeah. Have you ever wanted something that you shouldn't want? Have you ever wanted somebody you shouldn't want? No confessions here, but I think we all have, there's not a single one of us here who has not broken one of the commandments. We have all been disobedient. Deceived. Have you ever let yourself believe something that was not true, especially about God? Have you ever given in to lust, to desires that you know are not right? Serving diverse lusts, that's what that means. To give in to urges and desires that we should not give into, and pleasures that we should not give into. There are some pleasures that are very limited, that are supposed to be only in one way or enjoyed in only one way, and yet maybe we enjoy them in ways we're not supposed to. Living in malice and envy. That's a hard one. Have you ever been so angry at somebody that you couldn't even think because you were so angry? Have you ever wanted something that somebody else had so badly that it was all you could think about? Have you ever been hated by anybody? Now, that's maybe not your problem, but it's Sayang if you're hated, but have you ever hated anybody? This is a pretty terrible list, isn't it? And there are other lists like this in the Bible. Each one of those lists, if we were to spend time in it, we'd have to say, guilty, 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 over and over again. That's true for every single one of us. And there's the problem, because it is that guilt, it is that sin that causes God to be a judge for us. Because if you die, if I die with that guilt still on me, if you die with that guilt still on you, then you meet God as a judge. And there is no hope. Nobody right now, if you die today, there is nobody that tomorrow can help you. I wish there was sometimes. But there is nothing in the Bible that says if you die today, tomorrow your relative can light a candle for you to help you get out of God's judgment. And I wish that that was possible sometimes, because I have had friends and family who have died outside of Christ. And I wish that I could do something to get them out of the judgment of God, but it's too late. Once we leave this life, we go out into eternity, either under God's judgment or under His favor, under His blessing as a child of His. And you notice further down in Titus 3, verse 3, we have all of these terrible things. All of us are guilty of some of these. Thankfully, that's not the end, because verse 4, we read these amazing words. But after the kindness that the love of God our Savior toward man appearing. Now notice these words, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And that's what I just said. You and I can't do anything to get rid of that guilt. Let's say that you have done some of the things in verse 3, and all of us admitted it already. All of you were nodding your head. We have all done some of those things. How can you get rid of that guilt? There's nothing you can do. You can try to be good the rest of the time. So I'm good 90% of the time, but there's still that 10%. I can be good, you know, for 11 months out of the year. And then just 1 month, not so good. There's nothing we can do to get rid of that guilt. You can't be good enough to wipe away the guilt. It's like my son the other day, I've been picking on him. He's not here, so don't tell him I've been telling stories about him. But the other day, he did something that was wrong. And I had to deal with him about it. And he said, "But Dad, I did this good thing, and I did that good thing, and I did this." And I said, "That's true, but you still did this." Now, he's not going to hell because I didn't send him to hell for that, okay? But there was a punishment because of that, because good, your good, cannot wipe away your sin. Because you and I were born with that sin, and we can't wipe it away. But I stopped in the middle of verse 4, or at the middle of verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We can't do anything good enough, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, not by my grace, not by my works, but by His grace, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God has made a promise. If we accept the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and stop trying to get it ourselves, if we just accept it, God has promised to wipe away that guilt and that sin. And God keeps His promise. God never breaks His promise. And that is an amazing thing. That's why the beginning of verse 8, we read these words, "This is a faithful saying." It's true. Tama. And then you can just stop right there. God has promised eternal life to all of those who will accept the grace that He has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Titus, the book of Titus, starts out with these words, "in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised." And He promised it from the very beginning. And that promise will never go away. And so I want to ask you to think about your relationship with God. Are you trying to have your own works of righteousness? Maybe you've looked at that flower. You've looked at the stars at night and you've said in your mind, I know, okay, I give up. I give up. There's a God. I know it. But I don't want to just follow what the Bible says. I'm going to try to earn. If God is there, I'm going to work my way to God. I'm going to try to be as good as I can for my God. I'm going to work very hard. I know you're working very hard. You're sending money to take care of your family. You're trying to do good things. Those are good things, but they won't get you to heaven. They won't take away the sin. My father, I mentioned earlier, grew up, and he was like that carpintero. He grew up working very hard. He worked with his hands. He worked with GI sheeting, metal work, for almost all of his adult life. He grew up in a religious family, but unfortunately it was a religion that taught you could earn your own salvation, your own way to heaven. And he was a lot like that carpintero. And then one day, tinanggap niya ang sakripisyo ni Jesus upang isave sa kanya mula sa paghatol ng Diyos. Maaari mong gawin ang parehong bagay ngayon. Huwag maghintay. Siguro hindi gumising kabukas umaga. We don't have a promise for tomorrow. We don't have a way of earning heaven. But God has opened the door. And so I want to ask you, as we end this afternoon, are you looking at all of the warnings God is giving? Are you looking at the promises He is offering and saying no? Or are you accepting them? And if you never have accepted it, are you willing even this afternoon? Because the promise is there from God. The warnings are there. And we don't know how long a life we have in this life. I would not want any of us to walk out of this building and die. And I don't think that will happen, probably. I don't think when I get on the airplane, bukas umaga, that it's going to crash. But I don't know. I don't know that we'll walk out onto the street and be hit by a car, or have some unknown medical condition that was in my family and I never knew about it, and I will die. And you don't know either. But we don't have to worry about that if we will accept the grace of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what the next words are? You will be saved. That is a promise that God will never break. If you have never done that, I hope you would do that this afternoon. So that you don't have to live wondering what will happen after I die. God has given you a promise. Do you want that promise? Will you accept it?